This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 266 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, I'm trying to do everything I can and not be blown away. It is super windy here today.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the plugin picks of the week, getting blown away by those. But, yeah, it sounds like you're having some crazy weather. It's finally turned nice here in Southern California, so I picked an ironic time to have to launch a brand new company and a website, but I'm doing it. Staying inside while it's nice out.
Yeah, in fact, to give people an idea of how windy it is here, Pine Tree, actually kind of just before we went on the air, Pine Tree blew over and now it's across my driveway. So after the show, I get to run a chainsaw. How great is that?
Too bad it's not Christmas time still. You could just prop that dude up and away you go.
I could channel my inner Griswold.
That's right.
All right. So we don't have a guest today, but that gives us an opportunity to dive into some of the headlines that have been making the news in the WordPress landscape over the past week or two. There's a new release out for WordPress, 4.7.3. This is a security and maintenance release. This patches six security vulnerabilities. Three of them were cross-site scripting vulnerabilities that affected media file metadata, video URLs, and YouTube embeds, and taxonomy term names. There's actually a cross-site request forgery, or what they call a CSRF vulnerability, in the Impress This, if you could believe that. I haven't heard of or seen Press This mentioned in quite a while, and to see that there is a security vulnerability in it, it's kind of surprising to me. So the vulnerabilities were responsibly disclosed to the WordPress security team. And as I said, this was a maintenance release. I didn't realize this, but apparently when WordPress 4.471 was released, there was a bug introduced where certain non-image files were failing to upload. Users were receiving an error that said, sorry, this file type is not permitted for security reasons. And they ended up having to use this plugin that has something to do with MIME types, or allowing different MIME types to be uploaded. 4.73 should fix that issue, and if you're using that plugin, you shouldn't have to use it anymore. So that was annoying and bug that affected a few people, but it should be fixed. There's also updates to the WordPress REST API and other parts of WordPress. So you should be updated by now if you have automatic updates. This was released a few days ago, but as it's a security release, double check. Make sure all your sites and the ones you manage are all up to date.
Yes, and it was a nice timely release. It actually happened Monday, and I found out about it because I got 1,000 emails from every domain that I own saying that it's updated.
Isn't that kind of reassuring, though? I mean, I know it's 1,000 emails, but it's like, that's one less thing I got to do on all those thousands of sites.
That's right. It is nice. And if you keep clients out there, then this is one of those things you can just send a bill for. Oh, yeah, it's upgraded.
Nice. Bucks.
No, I'm just kidding.
So in a bit of sad news, especially for those who love the service and used it, Clef, or GitClef, which is a two-factor authentication service that was founded in 2013, has announced that it will be discontinuing its product and shutting down its business on June 6th. And Marcus, I know we received a tip from John Parkinson, a friend of the – Can we call him friend of the show? I think we can call him friend of the show. And he sent us the tip, and he said he was disappointed. And Marcus, I know that, in fact, we spoke highly of Clef on the show and ended up, I think, using a quote of yours on their testimonials page or something.
Actually, they did on their testimonials page, and on the header graphic in the repository, they put my quote. So that was like my movie poster, and now it's gone.
Yeah, so unfortunately... hey, Cleo.
He likes Clef, too.
Or Theo, not Cleo. Clef will continue operating until June 6, 2017, after which the mobile app will stop functioning and be removed from the Google Play and Apple app stores. The WordPress plugin has already been removed from the directory, so no new installs can happen. Before it was pulled down, it was reporting that it was active on more than 1 million sites. So that is a that's a pretty substantial user base when it comes to a plugin. Now, Clef has also published a transition guide to help users switch to two-factor Authy or Google Authenticator, which are different services. Two-factor is actually a WordPress plugin, so is a Google Authenticator. And for the reason of Clef shutting down, apparently the Brendan Byrne, the company CEO, says that the team is joining another company and that more details will be published soon. So I actually reached out to Byrne to try and get more information, and he says that they considered a lot of options for how they can satisfy their responsibility to the folks who have used their product for a long time, but they ultimately felt that this was the only responsible decision that they can make. And then he goes on to say that that they're really happy that they've built a product that so many people love, and it had widespread adoption in the WordPress community, but they haven't been able to find a business model which made the company sustainable. So you had this service, which according to the comments on the announcement post, people love this service. It was people ranting and raving about the user experience, the simplicity, the design. There's a lot of things that made Clef unique and desirable for a lot of people out there. And it's just, boy, kind of a head scratcher to think that they couldn't find a business model to make it sustainable.
Exactly, because I would think that Clef would port some of their app or some of their functionality and be able to use it in other places. Let's take, for example, you're logging into your bank website. Maybe they want to put two-factor authentication on there that requires your phone to take a shot, so to speak, or scan of the Clef barcode or something like that. You could have had powered by Clef or secured by Clef or something like that.
And by the way, I just want to let people know that Clef is most well known for removing the burden of remembering usernames and passwords by replacing them with, I guess it's a 300 character key using mobile cryptography. And I guess that's the barcode you're referencing.
Right. So yeah, that's how it happens is, you go to WP, you know, your domain / WP-admin. And if you're not already, you can, there's a couple different ways. If you're logged into your Gmail, it can usually do the two-factor authentication that way automatically. So you don't have to do that scanning thing. But if you're not logged in and if it's just a browser, then to ensure that it's you, you already have it associated on your app on your phone and you just scan the little barcode on the screen and then it lets you in. Or something else happens, which is it asks you on the app, all right, which URL do you see on your browser right now out of the three? And you just pick it and lets you in. And it was great because you could assign different people to use their own Clef and you could see when they've logged in. You can set a time limit of only an hour or any of that stuff. It was really great. So whatever they're doing, I hope it comes back in some iteration or form. I know that some people on WPTavern.com have indicated that there are some other third-party services that do most of the same functionality, but I don't think it does all of the same functionality. So I hope this lives in some fashion somehow.
Yeah, I mean, functionality is one thing, but the experience, the user experience and the simplicity of it and how people used it and its design is a totally different thing. And Clef seemed to be on top of everything. So yeah, I you know, it would kind of, I think it would be beneficial for other sort of two-factor authentication providers to look into Clef before it shuts down and kind of take notes and see what they could port over into maybe their own app to make it better, because Clef had something there. It's just the financial, the business part of it didn't click for whatever reason.
And maybe they just didn't pursue it in the right angles, you know, like I mentioned, but I hope something like that will come around soon. I guarantee it. That concept and idea is not dead.
Absolutely. So if you know anybody who uses Clef, or if you use Clef, migrate away as soon as possible. You have until June 6th, and then after then, your boat codes won't work anymore.
Yeah, then you can't get into your own site. The keys don't work.
That sounds like a pain in the rear situation to be in. Something that's been talked about in the WordPress community for a long time is this idea of collaborative editing in the WordPress post editor. However, it's kind of funny if you think about it, because if the WordPress post editor acts, when somebody is editing the post, it's locked to prevent somebody else from editing the post at the same time, so that way your changes are not overwritten. So it's kind of anti-collaborative in a way. But WordPress.com has released a Chrome add-on for Google Docs, which allows people to edit documents collaboratively on Google Docs, which is one of its key features. And then you can send the document directly to any WordPress.com site as a draft post or a Jetpack connected site. So that's pretty cool. So you install the add-on from the Google Chrome store, and then you give it permission to post to WordPress.com or a Jetpack connected site, and clicking the add-ons menu, open up a document in the sidebar where you can add sites. And one of the cool things about this is it maintains most of the formatting in the images in the Google Docs and seamlessly transfers it to the WordPress post editor, how it should look. So that's pretty cool. I know Sarah Gooding wrote up the article about her experience, and we tried to test it on WPTavern.com, but we ran into some errors with the authentication process. They had something to do with the REST API. We've had some people comment on the article that they've also had problems trying to connect sites or authenticate them with the Chrome app. So we've been in touch with Jetpack support. We're trying to figure it out, but for a lot of other people, it seems to be working great, and there's a lot of people excited about this because there's a lot of them who do all their work in writing within the Google editor, and it just copy and paste into WordPress. So now it makes the process a whole lot simpler.
Yeah, in fact, you and I do our show notes for this show on Google Docs because we can both collaborate and put things in at the same time. So I paste in the plugin picks of the week. I paste in the video picks, those kinds of things. And that's something because, I mean, perhaps you would be able to just take this doc that we work on and send it over to the post. So here's one thing I'm curious about is if I'm editing after it's been published, so post-publish, and then I go in to edit that Google Doc again, does it change on WordPress?
Well, we have not tested that out. But that is something worth testing once we get it working on WPTavern.com. I'm actually interested to see if that would help me publish the show notes post any easier, if I could just transfer our document and set it up in such a way that I would, how I would post it on WordPress. And I click one button and all the links and formatting and stuff is already there. I mean, that would be convenient for me.
It would. Or just reprogram the editor so that now two people can use it. One of those two things.
Yep, one of those two. Well, they're going this route for now, and we'll have to see how it works.
Yeah, good. Glad to see that.
And we briefly mentioned this, I think, on our last episode. We got into it a little bit, but Freemius has launched Insights for WordPress Themes. Now, they've been around for a year or so, and they offer some deep analytic data for plugins. Now they've made that same type of service available for themes. As it turns out, the WordPress theme directory, marketplaces like Creative Market, ThemeForest, they don't really give authors or sellers a lot of detailed information about who is using their products. And we're talking about specific domains, PHP versions, WordPress versions, locales, languages, just all kinds of deep data that you could really use or should help authors to make better decisions in terms of what they should be focused on or what new features to put into their product. And one of the coolest things about Freemius is, at least when people opt in, is that when a user decides to uninstall or deactivate a theme or a plugin that's using Freemius, there's this box that pops up with randomized questions. It's responses, and it asks you why, something to the effect of, why are you uninstalling so-and-so product? And the responses are randomized, so people kind of are forced to read through them. And it actually provides some great feedback, a feedback mechanism. And the majority of time, people provide an actual response, which is pretty cool. And all those responses are saved into the Freemius backend, so you can catalog them and you can see which one is the most prominent. And although this was just launched for themes, Vova Feldman, the founder of the service, actually shared some data from 1 year of from the plugin side of the business, and 21% of the people who provided feedback said they didn't understand how it works in terms of the plugin, and a lot of that had to do with installing the plugin and then not knowing what to do after that. So. And I was thinking about different ways. You know, if we take a look at WooCommerce, WooCommerce now has this onboarding wizard where when you install WooCommerce, it walks you through a couple different steps. And by the time you're done, you're pretty much ready to start adding products and sell things. There are other services or different plugins who are sort of experimenting with this as well. I think Yoast SEO might be one of them. And I was thinking back to a time when WordPress 3.3, which was seems like forever ago, they added this feature called admin pointers. And the whole idea of admin pointers was to help users or point out specific functionality or where things were the first time they installed something. And, you know, over the years, I haven't really seen a lot of plugins take advantage of admin pointers. So when you install a plugin, let's say you're looking for the settings page. Well, you have to determine, you know, is it in the menu? Is it in a submenu? It can take forever to find it, but if you get an admin pointer, you can tell them exactly where it is or give them a link. And I wonder if that would help out. But I thought it was really interesting. I think this would be a common issue. I mean, this feedback is only for plugins that are being tracked by Freemius, but I bet you not knowing what to do after you install it, I think that's a really common use case for a lot of people who install plugins, who use them.
I think so as well. And, you know, it's yet to be seen what this is going to do, but
I mean, how many times have you installed a plugin and you're like, man, all right, what's next? What do I do? What do I click? You know,
right.
So I go to the plugin page. I go to the FAQ. I go to the installation page that they have. I look for directions. Sometimes they have directions there. Sometimes they don't. I think all in all, what this points to is a lot more developers maybe should pay or emphasize more about documentation, explanations, a video tutorial, really sort of enhancing their description page for the plugin itself, maybe a more detailed FAQ, and maybe taking advantage of admin pointers. So you don't have to have an entire onboarding wizard like a plugin like WooCommerce, but just an admin pointer that sort of guides people along, you know, one or two of them. You know, that's probably all you need.
Yep. And that's one of the biggest things when I review plugins is to see how the interface is and how it works with you and not just in spite of you. So that's very important, and I agree.
So if you are a theme author who has a theme on a WordPress plugin directory or just a free theme in general, you can actually use Insights for Themes for free. So what it does, it'll keep 2 weeks of historical aggregated metrics, and the 100 most recent user emails will be collected. In exchange for aggregating the data, Freemius Asset, you provide sort of like a Freemius as a contributor type of thing to the themes README file. It isn't that bad. I know quite a few theme authors who are taking advantage of this and are pretty excited and pretty actually pretty surprised by some of the data that they're finding out, because they're finally learning things about their users that they had no idea before because the data didn't exist.
Right, right.
And so Freemius is filling the void that doesn't seem like the official directories or other services are going to fill anytime soon.
Data is power, and anytime you can see how your users are actually using themes and your themes and other people's themes and all that, the better. Because unless you know, you don't know, right?
Boy, so, kind of harkens back to our awesome episode we did with Morten Rinn Hendrickson about the telemetry proposal.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. That's right. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Listen to that. If you want to hear about the WordPress data-driven decisions and a telemetry proposal, go back a few episodes, search for it on iTunes. It was a great episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've been maintaining a website, Marcus, on the side that has active user registration, and it turns out this is the first site pretty much in my writing career, my WordPress site, that has active registration. And one of the common support requests that I've received so far from the people signing up to the site is, how do I change my profile picture? Well, you know, I'm thinking, hey, that's easy. You just go in here, click at a profile, go to your profile. No, it's not that easy, as it turns out. WordPress's profile or avatar system is powered by Gravatar, which is an automatic-owned service, and the idea is behind Gravatar is you set up your profile picture on Gravatar, and then it shows up without any configuration on any service, product, CMS, platform, whatever that supports Gravatar. So it's supposed to make it really convenient for people when they're managing their sort of identity. Now, this replaced the old method of uploading profile pictures back in WordPress 2.5 Brecker, which was almost 10 years ago.
Jeez. Yeah,
because it was 2.5 was released in 2008. So I started poking around and realizing, you know, what's the deal here? This is something that should not be this difficult. And having to go to a third-party service to manage your image on this site seems like a real pain in the rear, especially if you don't have a WordPress.com account. So I was reaching out to I actually published a little bit of a rant on Twitter. Turns out I'm not the only one who feels this way about the avatar section of WordPress. And there's a plugin out there called WP User Avatars, developed by friend of the show, John James Jacoby. Mm-hmm. And it's part of his starter collection of plugins. And what it does is it replaces Gravatar and adds the ability for registered users to upload an image from their machine. So you're bringing back local avatar management to WordPress. So people can upload an image, or they could choose an image from the media library, which, you know, to me is the way it should work, you know, by default. I shouldn't have to rely on a Gravatar service. Now, there's been a discussion. There's been a track ticket. In fact, there's been a few trying to get local avatar system back into WordPress. There's been some recent discussion, but there's not really been any movement there. Based on three different plugins, there's Simple Local Avatars, WP User Avatar, and Add Local Avatar. Those combined are active on about 300,000 sites. So there's some interest out there. Some of the comments on the article say that, you know, they enjoy Gravatar. It's a pretty convenient service. I can understand that. But right now, the user experience of managing and adding and changing your avatar photo in WordPress is terrible. And I've actually highlighted this in a separate post about how the Gravatar experience in WordPress is terrible. One of two things could happen. We could add one of two, but there are a variety of things that could happen to improve this, where we can replace Gravatar with a local avatar system and then have Gravatar as an option. Or we can completely revamp how Gravatar works on WordPress now so that it's not this cumbersome experience where you have to go outside the website or go into a different browser, and it's just very clunky. The avatar part of WordPress is an area ripe for improvement and has been for at least 10 years.
Not only is it difficult in that aspect that you speak of, but – when you are a person that has a Gravatar and you, let's just say I use Marcus Couch at Gmail, when I'm setting up a client site or something like that to create my own user or login, maybe I don't want a picture of me showing up when I make those different posts or anything like that. Maybe I don't want it to be Marcus, you know, I want it to be the client. But because of the fact that I've got my email address associated with my user, it's going to take that.
Yep.
That's what it's going to use. And that stinks. But yes, I have done the custom user avatar plugin for a client site and actually built a sub plugin that works on with it, an add-on that can import based on, it's a, like a bulk user avatar changer, right? So it does, it takes a spreadsheet and it takes the username, like their slug, and, or the author name, whatever you want to call it. And then you have a URL to what their avatar is. I think I've talked to you about this before. Like this site, this membership site that I manage has over 50,000 users. So I had to do 50,000 avatars.
Oh.
And believe me, they're not going to be Gravatar people because they have nothing to do with WordPress. This is not anything to do with WordPress. So in that instance, what are you going to do? Make a third-party participant of a membership site? Go change their – go sign up and get registered in Gravatar? It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. So there are options out there if you want to replace Gravatar. But, you know, I hope in the near future – the Gravatar, the avatar experience in WordPress is upgraded because right now it's pretty crappy, you know, to put it mildly.
Is Gravatar, Gravatar is still an automatic property, right?
Yes.
Well, that's why. Okay.
So yes. That's why. All right. Well, a little bit of BuddyPress information I learned kind of the hard way. Again, on the same site I manage, it runs BuddyPress, and I ran into a situation where I wanted to change a group slug or permalink. Now, if you edit the permalink for a post or page in WordPress, first of all, WordPress gives you that ability to do that. It's easy. And WordPress actually will automatically redirect the old URL or old permalink to the new one. So you don't have to mess around with htaccess files or worry about, you know, people visiting the old link and seeing a 404 page, which is pretty nice. BuddyPress doesn't have this same functionality. If you were to go into the edit group section or the group management part of the WordPress backend in BuddyPress, you'll see that where it says permalink, there's no button that allows you to edit it. And the reason for this is that BuddyPress or groups do not have canonical redirection. And the slug history is not tracked as it is in WordPress. So I had a situation where I had two choices. I could either change the slug and break a number of links because there's already content and some things that link to the group, or I could delete the group and recreate it with a slug of my choice. Well, the group already had 300 members. It already had a handful of posts. I really didn't want to delete that and have to start over from scratch. I did a search on Google, came across a plugin, which, Marcus, I'll give you one guess as to who this plugin was developed by for this functionality.
For which functionality?
To edit a group slug. Who do you think wrote that? Ah, bingo. Yeah. I give you one shot, and that's all you needed.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that the plugin called BP Edit Group Slug was created by John James Jacoby, but it hadn't been updated in 7 years. And it was throwing a bunch of errors for people as recently as a few months ago because it seems to be a common support question. People run into a situation where they want to change the group slug. They can't. This plugin's recommended, but it was throwing a lot of errors. So I talked to Jacoby in the Slack channel, and he graciously spent 2 hours of his time, updated the plugin, got it compatible with the latest version of BuddyPress, and it works. It works as advertised. However, I made the conscious decision to change the slug and break the links that are already there on the site because I didn't want to start over from scratch. So I do have quite a few links related to the group that produce a 404 error because I haven't set up any type of redirection. There's no canonical links. But I now have the correct slug, and from now on, the links will be correct. So there is a ticket that was created about 8 years ago requesting the ability to change a group slug. But the ticket was eventually closed and labeled won't fix because they said adding it would likely introduce a lot of problems because changing a group slug breaks links to all existing content, which I found out the hard way. And they don't have a graceful fallback system now for changing permalinks. With that said, there is a gentleman in the Slack channel by the name of David Cavins who offered up an idea on how this feature could possibly work. Jacoby and Boone Gorgeous both gave him their seal of approval, and he's going to be working on that. So it's possible that in the near future, BuddyPress will have a feature that allows us to safely change the permalink of a group and have the links redirect correctly instead of generating a 404 error. So the moral of this lesson is when you create a BuddyPress group, make sure the slug is exactly what it is that you want because you can't change it right now at a later time without consequences. So it's just one of those situations I ran into where you learn a lesson the hard way and there's no, you know, I thought, well, you know, I could just change the permalink. I could do that in WordPress. It should be easy. And, well, it turns out, nope, it doesn't exist.
Wow. Well, your coaxing probably helped a lot of other people that are running into the same issues. So maybe that'll, it's nice that Triple J spent a little time to fix that.
I did. Shout out to Triple J who is getting lots of mentions on this show. Friend of the show.
Yes.
Cool guy. Cool cat. And last but not least, WP Campus has announced that it will take place this year, July 14th and 15th in Buffalo, New York. So a few months ago, after the first inaugural WP Campus took place in Sarasota, Florida, they put out the call for campuses across the country to sort of invited them to apply to host the event. And Canisius College in Buffalo, New York was the was awarded the conference. So right now, WP Campus, I almost want to say Krampus, but that's a cruel Christmas character. And we don't want to get it confused with that. But WP Campus is looking for speaker submissions and for sponsors. Speaker submissions will be accepted until March 24th, which is in about a little more than two weeks. So you still have time. Of course, links to this and all the information on where to go and what to do will be published in the show notes. And a lot of lessons that were learned basically around logistics are going to be applied to help out the event the second time around. There's no word yet on if there's going to be another WordPress in higher education survey. I sure hope so because the last one that was put out was pretty valuable, contained a lot of great information about perceptions and that of WordPress in the higher ed sector. And as far as why the college was chosen, they say that the team was extremely supportive and working hard to make sure that it would be a top-notch facility. It's in a great location. And Buffalo in July doesn't sound too bad. So there you have it.
That's the only way to go to Buffalo.
Well, you know, I didn't say it, but you may be right. So the event's looking for sessions with a variety of different perspectives. That's what they're aiming for. So you can visit... let's see, what is it? It is it's 2017.wpcampus.org. And, of course, links to this event will be in the show notes. Now, you can't purchase tickets for it yet, but the planning community says that should be opened up soon. And there's no word yet on a live stream, but I could pretty much guarantee, say that there's probably going to be one. It's very likely. There's been a live stream for the first one, and then there was WP Campus Online, which had to be live streamed because it was an online event, and this one will probably be live streamed as well. But Rachel Cardin and team over there You know, one of the coolest things about this event is back in August of 2015, Rachel Carden published a tweet that says, you know, ooh, dream with me, WordCampus, a WordCamp for folks using WordPress in higher education. That was the sort of genesis, the idea, the spark. And now she's getting ready to do her third conference related to this WordCampus, so WordPress in higher education. So congrats to her for following through up on her idea. And from the people who went to the first event in Sarasota, a lot of people had a great time and said it was an awesome event.
Yeah, and as we had a guest on, I think it was just a couple of months ago, or maybe it's been weeks, I don't know, of a guy that was working in the higher education space. It's not easy. It's not easy. And there are a lot of different caveats to it, and there's a lot of proprietary platforms that are out there that already service higher education that kind of own the market. So for WordPress to be making strides within that space is outstanding. And it would be anybody that's in that space, by all means, you should check out WP Campus or check out the live stream.
Absolutely. So since this is a news-oriented type of episode of WordPress Weekly, we have our What's on WordPress.tv segment. And Marcus, what do you have today?
Yeah, we need a theme to watch. We need a theme. We need some kind of a theme. Sound effect, something. Let's talk first what's on WordPress.tv with a WordPress community interview with Jenny Beaumont. And she's a multicultural, multidisciplinary maker and writer of things. She's a leader of people and of projects who values communication above all else as a means to successfully collaborate. Okay, that's the great bio, but here's the real story. Jenny and Paul Belcastro are the co-organizers of WordCamp Europe, and we know how big that is. And she's also the team lead of the local WordPress community. So I found that to be a really nice interview. I watched the entire thing, and it's really nice to get a perspective of somebody who's a co-organizer of such a gigantic WordCamp, which I think is even bigger than WordCamp US. So check that one out.
Yeah, and I've had the chance to meet Jenny Beaumont once or twice. Fantastic gal. Love talking to her. And definitely one of the WP mom type people we have in the WordPress community. Mm. Where, you know, you'll generally see her on Twitter reminding people to take a break, or, you know, she generally has positive tweets. So she's really a cool member of the community.
Great. Next one is Rob Ruiz, and this was a presentation that was part of WordCamp Omaha 2016, and the title of his session is Admin Experience, the New UX, and he goes through all kinds of different things, talks about just the user experience, stuff that a lot of designers and developers kind of overlook. And he talks about using custom post types, the WordPress database API, and some creative coding that can make WordPress sites easier for businesses to use, whether they're a novice or advanced user. And this is a really good presentation that goes through all of that. And then finally,
I'll announce the third one because you've gone robot on us. So I'm going to let you disconnect and reconnect. And while you do that, I will let people know that the third item we'd like you to check out on WordPress.tv is Chris Klosowski, who did a presentation on democratizing inspiration. And this presentation was a part of WordCamp Phoenix 2016. And the basis around it is that all businesses and stories start as an idea, and WordPress is a democratized platform for that inspiration, where ideas are empowered to evolve into meaningful products and stories that shape and create the world we want. So that sounds like an epic presentation. And that is what is on WordPress.tv this week.
Amongst hundreds of other videos, yes.
Yes.
All right. And that brings us to the highlight of the show.
the thing that blows people away.
Yeah, it's time for the plug-in picks of the week. And here I've got three great ones. First one is called WP Clone Menu, really simple plugin. It allows you to clone your menus just by selecting the existing menu that you want to duplicate, enter the new menu name, and just click Make Clone, and it actually clones an entire menu for you. And that's pretty cool because it takes a while to set up menus, especially if you got some crazy hierarchy. Maybe you want a different mobile menu or something like that, and you don't want to just have to recreate the whole thing again. You might miss something. You might forget something. So you just make a clone, and it solves all your problems.
Man, I don't know. What's up with your audio? What happened?
Really?
You and Google Hangouts do not get along. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
You two need to break up and work this out on whatever is going on here, because within the past few episodes, it's just gotten progressively worse. I don't know why it happens. I mean, we tried looking into it, and who knows?
Me neither. Okay, so let's keep going here. WordPress List Images is a pretty neat plugin. It makes a list of images to optimize, and it brings that list of images under the uploads folder, which gives the user an idea as to what needs to be either optimized or re-uploaded within your WordPress installation. Huge, huge plugin, especially if you've got tons and tons of images that you don't necessarily want to go through. This plugin will help you do that. So if you know that you've got some images that you need to optimize, then this plugin is for you, because unlike some of the other plugins out there that go ahead like Smoosh, and there's a couple of other ones, TinyPNG, and they just go ahead and optimize it for you, but you don't necessarily see what needs to be optimized ahead of time. And this helps you to do that. So check out WordPress List Images, and that will take care of that one. Finally, Jeff, if you're going to have a contest or maybe even sell raffle tickets, there's a new plugin called WP Raffle, and it totally automates an online raffle. You just install the plugin, load in all the appropriate raffle details and prizes, even how much a ticket would cost, or maybe there's some other thing they can just enter, and this plugin does all the rest, and it picks the winner at random of the designated raffle right on the draw date that you've set. So this runs the entire raffle for you. Really nice for giveaways, whatever you want to do. So check it out, WP Raffle, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. Marcus?
MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Okie dokie. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. I got to go open the chainsaw and take care of some pine tree, create some firewood. Everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Until then, take care.